Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everyone.
And Tom. All right, you got to say your name. I'm sorry.
No problem, Joe. Tom Somedy.
Tom Somedy. Okay, I'm sorry, I forgot.
No worries.
He is back on the show, and you know we appreciate him being on. It was very difficult to get someone that had actually seen Moon Knight that was able to come on the show, and I appreciate it a lot. I did want to mention, yeah, Jack wasn't able to be on the show, and I just wanted to say, Jack's always been a great guy, and he's been going through some stuff recently, kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. So I would say, if you guys can, and you're, you know, fans of Jack, just email him, jackm@wdwnt.com, and just kind of give some positive thoughts his way, you know, because he is a good guy, and he's, we all go through stuff a lot, and, you know, not that it's horrible, it's not anything medical related, but it's just sometimes when it rains, it pours, and it seems like it's been raining a lot with Jack, and he'll come out of it eventually. But we've all been there, where we just have crappy things happen, and then other crappy things happen, and we just hope it stops, and it's not the best feeling. So that was my point.
Here, here.
Here. All right, so it's actually, we're doing this Saturday morning, which is nice to do a morning show every now and then. And what we're going to do is we're going to go over some news. And we have finished with Marvel Movie March Madness. And tonight, what we're going to do is we are going to go over Moon Knight, which the first episode premiered on Disney Plus. But first, let's get, well, actually, you know what, before we get into the news, I did want to bring this up because this is the big topic of everybody right now. And I appreciate that this is in the news just because I'm tired of hearing about COVID and, you know, in the Ukraine war and all that. It's nice to see something that everybody seems to be talking about. And it's kind of interesting because it's like drama for all of us, but it's the Will Smith at the Oscars slapping Chris Rock has really gone completely viral. People are just talking about it. Everybody has their opinion. So I guess we'll ask Fedra first. So what do you think about the whole situation?
It's very, obviously dramatized, really. I mean, I understand that it was on the Oscars. To say it quickly, I don't know if my boyfriend's brother coined this phrase, but he says it a lot. And it's really the Kardashian effect. You know, the more you talk about the situation, the more, you know, in their face they are, and everyone has their, you know, opinion or emotion behind it. You know, for me, I'm just going to set it as the tone of how I look at the Oscars. You know, Chris Rock is a fantastic comedian. And Will Smith is also so multi-talented as an actor. He even did singing. He's done so many things, as even as a dancer. So let's keep it professional, which is the one thing that Will Smith didn't do. And I feel that, you know, that's the one thing that really upsets me about it, is that, you know, his character kind of came out, a certain part of his character that we all had to see. And I really wish that he would have been able to use the advice that he gives, because I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I have seen him on YouTube making short stories about manifesting and a positive mindset. So this was kind of the opposite of that. It was like seeing like a part of his dark self. And I just wish he would have held back, because it's really not a good look. And it does, you know, just paint a bad light when everybody's talking about, you know, a situation that if you could, you would take it back.
Okay. What about you, Tom?
So my biggest thing about it, being from Philly myself, just like Will Smith, more unnecessary attention being brought to my town. And, you know, the association with, you know, oh, Philly always overreacts, and, you know, don't know how to act and, you know, how to handle themselves. And for the longest time, like Fedra was just saying, he's such a proponent of, you know, doing good and going out there and helping people and doing this, doing that. And for him to react the way he did, I really don't know how I would have reacted in that situation. But at the end of the day, though, too, like, it's Chris Rock. I understand he's poking fun at your wife, but it's all in good fun. I mean, you know, just as well as I do, could you imagine if that were Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy, like the things that they could have said, you know, and, you know, the road that that could have gone down, or even go down a different path, like instead of Chris Rock, I know your favorite guy, Joe, you know, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, say he made that comment. You think Will Smith would have got up and confronted him that way? You know, so like, there's a lot of, I don't know, him and his family have had not the best publicity lately, you know, with everything with him and his wife and everything that's going on with that. And I kind of feel a lot of that came out with that right there, where, you know, he felt, I don't know, maybe ashamed, you know, where it was, that was on a global scale live. And I didn't watch any of the Academy Awards, I'll be honest with you with that.
Me too.
But with, from what, obviously you see that it was all over the news. And then with his acceptance speech, how he could have saved a lot of face and actually, you know, been a decent human being by actually apologizing for overreacting the way he did to Chris Rock. And he seemed to almost justify it to himself why he did it. And then went on with the whole, you know, this is what you do, you know, how you're good to people and protect and do this and do that. He could have fallen on the sword like a man and apologized, but he decided not to. So I guess that's the biggest thing that leaves a bad taste in my mouth with the whole situation with him. So, but I mean, the one good thing to come out of it is plenty of memes for us to laugh at, huh?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't like you, and I guess Fedra too. She probably didn't see the Oscars. I don't watch it now because it's just too political. I used to love watching it when Johnny Carson was hosting it, and, you know, maybe Robin Williams and Whoopi and Billy Crystal or Steve Martin. But now it's just so damn political. And it was at times political in the past too, but it's gotten, ever since Trump became president, they made too many speeches and people are there just to see people win awards and just say thank you and then get off the stage. Nobody wants to be preached at. What you both said about Will Smith, I wasn't aware of that he was pushing so much positiveness, like in some videos and all that. To me, he seemed like a generally good guy. Like every time I would see him at a premiere, he always had time for the fans, you know, and he would go over and sign autographs and shake their hands. And he just seemed very nice and a very happy guy. I loved him in The Fresh Prince. I was a huge fan of that show, but I never liked him in any of his movies. Not a one. Maybe I did like him as the genie in Aladdin because I didn't think he did a horrible job. But I kind of understand why people like him so much. I think it's kind of like The Rock. It's like after a while, he's a good guy, first of all. But if you see one movie and you kind of like him and then you see another movie, next thing you know, you're going to all either Rock movies or you're going to Will Smith's movies. It's just a thing that you do. Like we used to do that too, like with say Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger or you know, again, they weren't great actors, but they were just movies and you're like, well, we're gonna have a good time knowing that they're in it. I was gonna say I did see King Richard. I didn't like the movie. I'm never a fan of the Williams sisters, and that story made me like the father less. I thought he was really a horrible person and they tried to make him out to be a good guy, but I think deep down he was taking advantage of a lot of situations and that he should have been grateful for. And I didn't think Will Smith did a good performance. In fact, I think that he was nominated for a Razzie. He might even won a Razzie for the same role. So it's like, how could you be nominated for doing a bad role and then winning the Oscar? I think it was very political that they just wanted to give him an Oscar and there wasn't a lot of competition this year. And like, oh, we're going to make it Will Smith's year. Because I honestly, like I said, I saw the movie, not impressed with what he did at all. But his actions at the Academy Award, it was ridiculous that he should have never done it. I didn't see it, but I just happened to be up and I read it on the news. And so I watched a video of it. And the thing that bothered me more was not the slap, but his reaction afterwards when he screamed and cursed at Chris Rock afterwards. It just shows, number one, he had no respect for anybody in that room, especially Chris Rock. And to me, it was the pure definition of the word entitlement, that if I don't like something, I could just go up and slap somebody in the face and because I'm right.
And amen to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really.
I think that that's his whole thing, why he didn't apologize to Chris Rock, because his pride was, he felt that he did right. I don't know. We're getting so many damn stories too. Like, they're saying that the heads of the Oscars had asked him to leave and he refused. And now I'm hearing that that didn't happen. But if he did refuse, again, that shows his arrogance. I mean, he had to realize that what he did was wrong. It was a bad look for, because this goes out throughout the world, the Oscars, the broadcast. You're not supposed to do something like that at all. But to me, what bothered me more was his tone when he was yelling and cursing, and just the way he looked, like, this is my world. You know, I don't care about anybody else. I can say and do whatever I want. And that bothered me more. I think I would never want to see them take away his Oscar, because regardless of what I think, he did legitimately win it. But I do think he should be banned from the Academy. I know he resigned, but I think he should be banned from the Oscars permanently. I have a feeling they might ban him for a year, but what is that going to do? You know, and who knows, this might end his career too, because he's getting a lot of hate now, which I didn't know the night that it happened which way it was going to go. It's either you're going to have people defending Will Smith, or you're going to have people defending Chris Rock. And it seems like most people, and even a lot of people I don't agree with, are siding with Chris Rock. Like, I was really impressed with I love Jim Carrey as a comedian. I don't like a lot of things that he says when he speaks out about politics or social issues or whatever. But he had said that it shows how spineless the celebrities are to have given him a standing ovation after he won. And, you know, true words were never spoken. That's how I felt, too. It's like, how could you stand up after it? You can applaud the guy, but don't stand up, because that's almost like condoning what he did. It's just that they live in a completely different world. I'm not going to say everybody, every actor. I guess that's stereotyping. I'm sure they're it's like a lot of things. Like, it's usually the smallest amount of people have the loudest voices, and celebrities do a lot of sickening things, to me anyway, or they say a lot of sickening things and think they know better than us. And I think that that's Will Smith, unfortunately, probably is like in real life, is that he thinks that he knows better than us, and that his family is almost like a dynasty, that it's very important and it needs to be protected. But like Tom said, there's something going on in that house. First of all, Jada, she must be hell to be married to. She just, you know, after what she did about coming public with the affairs that she had. And who knows? She might really, there are tons of marriages where the women wear the pants in the family. And that might be the case there too. And she might have caught him laughing and gave him a look, and he was like, oh crap, I better do something or I'm going to be in such hot water when we get home. And he didn't do the right thing. Now, I'm not saying that happened, but I could see that happening too. But it also, the way he yelled and he screamed, it made me think that he probably does that at home too. And if he doesn't get his way, someone is going to hear about it. It's, you know, in his family. Because I've seen that in real life too. It's like where a person will have one side to show to the public, but amongst their closest friends and their family, they have another side. So who knows? But I was disappointed that he didn't give a legitimate apology. Instead, he tried to make himself the victim and he tried to make himself as a hero and a protector of his family, and that God chose him to be the light and representation of love. Yeah, you don't say that after you smacked the guy and cursed at him in what should have been a civil event. And that joke was minor, you know? I don't think that was a bad joke. I mean, I thought it was a bad joke. I wouldn't have said it because it's so old. I mean, who even remembers G.I. Jane? But it's not like he's, you know, your wife is so ugly, you know, now that she's bald. I mean, part of me wanted Chris Rock to say something back, like when he went off the stage. It's like saying, I'm not saying Jada was ugly because she shaved her head. She's ugly because of her face, you know. That's something where it would be comedic, but you can't say that this time. And I don't think Jada is ugly. I think she's very attractive. Well, I really liked her in The Nutty Professor. I thought she was super attractive in that. But and that's another thing.
I have another thing to throw in the wrench, if I may.
Sorry, yeah, I've been talking way too much on that. Sorry.
No, you're fine. It's more of a devil's advocate thing where, and I'm taking this not only from, you know, hearsay of what people are saying, but also from another show. If you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend it. It's a very dark comedy animated show, BoJack Horseman. And in BoJack Horseman, he plays a very alcoholic and addicted actor, but it's also taken place in Hollywood. And there's a scene where he's at one of the bars and he shows in the animated series that it's all set up. So like you just said, at some point they map out and be like, okay, this is Will Smith's moment. So because this is show business, what are you guys thinking about the possibility that it was staged and actually planned to happen?
No, I at one point, I'm sorry, Tom, you go first.
No problem. I did hear that like pretty early on. And, you know, of course, everyone with the different camera angles and things like that, where it almost looked like, you know, they tried to say like, oh, well, Chris Rock was leaning into it. But I genuinely, the way I took that at first was like, he was leaning in for like Will to like say something to him, like in his ear. Type of deal, or like, you know, come up and act like, you know, oh, I'm gonna go get you. I did kind of get that vibe, like even with the smack, but then like Joe was saying, once he came off stage and not only screaming the first time, but he repeated himself, where I feel like if he just did it the one time where it could have been done and over with, but then repeating himself, I was like, I don't know now. And like Joe said too, like this is a guy that's worth millions, or, you know, Lord knows how much he's actually worth, you know,
almost, when he's like invested almost a half a billion.
There you go. You know, like the stakes that he has and Lord knows what, and you literally just poisoned your brand, because like you said, Joe, I'm actually surprised how many people are against him, because when it first happened, I'm like, I could definitely see people siding with him. Like, oh yeah, that was cool. You know, you did this, you did that. You act like a big tough guy, but like at the end of the day, you looked like an idiot. You know, like, and even if it were planned, I don't know if he stuck to the script as far as the way it was supposed to go. Like I said, you know, you get the laugh from everyone when you go up and smack him. Like, say he pulled a slap or didn't even connect with him. You know, you get the laugh there, but then with him screaming from his seat twice, you know, I don't know. It just completely, if that was supposed to be a skit, you know, quote unquote, it went off the rails at that point.
Just to piggyback that too, just to add, just because I want both of your opinions too, I apologize that I cannot remember the comedian. She's a great comedian and she was interviewed and it sounded like she didn't state that she sided with Will, but she was keeping it very neutral, where she said, and I do remember this, in, I guess you want to say my time, I don't know, in my generation, whatever. But I've heard the saying where if a guy or a girl is addressing a woman that is bald or a shaved head and they call her G.I. Jane, they're also suggesting as a negative that they're possibly identifying as lesbian or gay. And so it's also, maybe that evoked something in Will Smith in a sense of like, well, not only you're not good at your marriage, she's also going the other way because of you. Like, I know that that is completely illogical, but when you're emotional and you're and somebody's joking about something that's so vulnerable already, it breaking you up, I could see somebody hitting them for that reason. It's not the approach. The only other reason that I bring it up also is that they're both great entertainers. It's really not easy for them to be like, okay, so you know, we want both of your numbers to like pick up. So during the Oscars, we want this kind of scenario. We want you to kind of hit them, but don't hit them too hard, you know, but make it look good, you know, and then both of you win because, you know, everybody's going to be looking back at Chris Rock and Will Smith and we'll go back and watch all your stuff. And then we'll do a little finesse, you know, you'll apologize. You know, that's my mindset and it's terrible. It's also why I don't watch the Oscars anymore, because after a period of time, when you see that majority of it is completely fake, why am I going to sit down and waste my life and waste my time seeing something like that? I just can't fathom an excuse, but I'd love to hear both of your points of what do you think about those remarks?
Well, I wanted to say something about Jada. The people that are defending her are saying that her husband defended her because she is suffering from a disease. It's not a disease what she has. I mean, she's losing her hair. That's like saying athlete's foot is a disease. You know, she's loaded. She could either do something with her hair or wear a wig and, you know, she'll look fine. But I really think she shaved her head intentionally for attention, you know, to kind of bring the attention on her. Because she's worn wigs before. I mean, if she doesn't want to wear them, that's fine. But I'm sure she's not wearing it to make it, you know, like when someone who has cancer that has to shave their head and they're not portraying that, look at me, I'm beautiful now. You know, it's something that they're slightly embarrassed about, I would think. You know, I mean, it's, we all feel bad for them, but I know that they don't go in public and make it about empowerment and all that. They want to get back to the way they were. You know, they wish that they didn't have to do that. I think that her whole thing is, again, that she was trying to draw attention to herself because, again, she could have worn a wig. I'm sure she's not completely bald and she just decided to shave her head. Again, there are lots of women that do suffer from this, and there are different methods that they can do. If you aren't, you don't care about how you look or something like that, and you feel more comfortable, you know, shaving your head. I know it's different with men. A lot of men do it, and you know, a lot of. I know I'm starting to go down a tunnel that I can't get out of. But for me, I guess what I'm just trying to say is I think that she did it more for attention, to draw the spotlight on her.
But have you heard that implication though, that if a woman is shaving their head or has really short hair, it's like, then they're probably of that sexual orientation, you know, that judgment. That's what I'm asking.
I never heard that before.
Well, like you said, Pedro, like I feel like we're the same age, same generation. Like I remember when the movie came out and I do remember like that reference then, but I kind of feel like Joe said too, that movie's so far gone now, like in the public's, you know, recollection of it where, I mean, and don't get me wrong, both Will Smith and Chris Rock at the time that movie came out were still pretty big names. I mean, granted Will Smith has stayed a big name,
yeah,
where Chris Rock kind of fell away. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he did that, you know, with that in
intentional
mind.
Like something that's relevant, but relevant to them, but not relevant maybe exactly now.
But when it comes to his response to it, I think Will Smith, if something was said about him, mm-hmm, I think it would just roll right off his back. I think because there's so much going on, you know, in the public's, you know, forefront with the two of them, you know, like Joe said, you know, with the affairs and everything like that, where I think any mention of her to it, like that's just like his breaking point now. where
okay. he wants it doesn't to matter what topic. It's just exactly. if you just bring up Jada, that's it.
In anything in not a good light, I'll say. Because like I feel
just for looking it up for the listeners, G.I. Jane came out in 1997.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, Will Smith was on top of the world then, you know, with Independence Day and Bad Boys was out like right before that. And I don't mean to say that like Chris Rock's irrelevant anymore, because I mean, he's still around, he's still doing his thing. But back to what you were saying though, first too, about like kind of boosting their, for lack of a better term, their careers. Like Will Smith is taking a hit from this big time. Chris Rock, on the other hand, I heard he's coming to Atlantic City and tickets like went through the roof, because you know, everyone cannot wait to hear what he's going to say about this, you know, and it's,
and he's saying nothing.
Exactly. You know, so I kind of hope that he doesn't back down from it and goes to being a comedian about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like,
I mean, hey, not for nothing, he can even make the joke that he took a hit from Muhammad Ali, right? You know, and he standing and he stood his ground.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so like, I don't know. And it's just the whole situation is so ridiculous.
I was going to say, like, when I mentioned that, you know, she shaved her head, it's kind of like say like an actor, I don't know, an actor that's going bald or whatever, and somebody made fun of him, like a comedian made fun of him. And, you know, people laughed over it. But if that same actor had cancer, you know, and he had to shave his head because of it, or he's losing his hair because of the chemotherapy, and an actor or a comedian made a joke about it, people wouldn't laugh. You know, there's a difference. And when they, because people are defending what he did, is saying that she has a condition. And it's a medical condition and she's suffering from it. It's like, no, it's not the same. You know, like, men have to deal. I know it's worse for women, but men have to deal with that too. It's like, you know, they're going bald or whatever. Someone might make a joke about it, but it's also where people are too sensitive that you can't joke about anything. And I do think in a way, this is a tipping point that maybe things will start to change and people are going to realize that this all started over a dumb joke.
And exactly.
That now we can't even say anything about people that are bald, that it's offensive and that it's hurtful. We have to go back to how things were, not completely, but people shouldn't have to walk in eggshells, especially comedians, when they make a joke. That's the career. Then they're going to have no career. Well, most of them anyway. They have to look at situations and make fun of it. You know, and they just can't. You know, didn't. He can't stop being who he is, because he's a great. I love Bigger and Blacker. I've must have seen that like 50 times. It's hysterical, you know, and that's all he does throughout the whole show, is he makes fun of people, races, genders, and all that. And he's great. I think Chris Rock is his stand up was better than Eddie Murphy's, but whatever. Hopefully, like you said, I hope he doesn't back down, and I really hope he doesn't apologize for what happened, but I could see that happening too. I hope that he is the symbol to show that I'm not changing just because a few want me to change. I've always been the way I am, and there are a lot of people that like me for it, and that's what I do for a living. So hopefully, crossing my fingers, that's what he's going to remain. So I guess we'll move on. Well, let's get into the news. Morbius. So Morbius came out this week. It's getting very bad reviews. I think Rotten Tomatoes has it at 17, and people are flipping out at the after credit scene. So I'm going to ask you guys, all right, Tom, have you seen it? Or are you going to see it?
So we were talking about seeing it tomorrow, my girls and I. Mm-hmm. And when I came home, I guess it was Thursday night, and I saw the exact same thing you did with a Rotten Tomatoes score, and I was like, ooh. Like, that's usually not an indicator for me where I'll be completely turned off. But then the audience rating was only like a 55. And I was like, ugh. So I started reading some of the reviews on that. And for the amount of time that took for this movie to come out, and after No Way Home, it got delayed. So I'm like, maybe they're going to throw Andrew Garfield in there, you know, or just have, you know, one of the Spider-Men show up to kind of strengthen the movie a little bit. But true to form, like what you guys know are going to happen with the movie, they're trying to make a legitimate villain. You know, oh, he's not that bad. He's trying to help, you know, he's out there trying to be a hero. And I'm really getting fed up with that, especially with Sony and their quote unquote Spider-Verse, because they don't have anywhere to go with it. And I know, and I'm sure we'll get into it, they're talking, you know, potentially setting up a Sinister Six. Could you imagine where the Sinister Six is being looked at as sort of like the Avengers in this world then? Because, you know, oh, the, you know, we might look big and scary, but we're actually the good guys. Like,
that's like the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of feel like, if anything, Sony should look at Warner Brothers and be like, well, neither one of those movies did as good as they hoped. I know they have their following and everything like that, but like, it's still not where it's never going to challenge the MCU, you know, with what they bring in. And I know, like, you're always saying, Joe, like, the mark of $1 billion is like where Disney has everything now with the Marvel universe. And with the exception of anything showing Spider-Man, I don't see Sony putting anything out that's ever going to be able to pull in numbers like that. And just everything I'm hearing about Morbius, it would have been cooler, I think, if they made it, and again, haven't seen it yet, but if they made it more of like a horror movie, like they were hyping it up so much, like, you know, oh, you know, Morbius is scary and this and that. Like, if they went down more that vein of the actual living vampire, I think they could have done a little bit better with it. But like, I don't know. And even with that right now, I mean, we're going to get into it with Moon Knight and everything, but like, they could even kind of piggyback off of where the MCU is right now, like where the MCU is going down that, you know, spooky road. Like, they could have stuck to that themselves and, you know, kind of, you know, picked up their crumbs, so to speak. And I think from what I'm hearing about it, it's a not well-written story and it's rushed through. And just like Carnage, it's an hour and a half long, which might as well just be, you know, an episode or two on a Disney Plus series right now.
Yeah, that's a very good point. What about you, Fedra? Were you planning on seeing it or?
I'm sticking to what I said when I saw the trailer with you guys, and that is I'm going to wait, you know, as a, again, with my own code of ethics as a spiritualist, I try to shy away from the horror side anymore, just personally. When I was, you know, a kid and, you know, in high school, I was addicted to all the horror films. So I think from 1960 to at least 2000s, I've seen all the horror films. So I agree though with Tom that they should have gone that route with this. I think it would have been more interesting. I think it would have appealed to, you know, different, you know, people that would like horror or like, you know, superhero slash horror. They would, you know, it would make a nice interesting hybrid. But I wasn't really intrigued with the trailer at all. So, and I'm also not a Jared Leto fan personally as an actor. So, you know, he's been in a lot of things that I love, but he's never stood out to me. So that's why I'm just going to wait for now.
Yeah, I was praying that this movie was going to get bad reviews just so it would give me an excuse not to see it. Because if it got good reviews, I'd have to see it because we would be talking about it on the show. The problem, like Tom said, is it's kind of like Sony has got the rights to the Spider-Man franchise. So that also means that they have the rights to the villains. So they want to milk that as much as they possibly can. It's kind of like if I somehow acquired the rights to the Indiana Jones movies. And yeah, Indiana Jones is cool and I could make a bunch of movies with him. But what if I made a Solo spinoff or I made a early movie about I forget who the villain was in the first movie, the French guy, or Kate Blanchett's character and the Crystal Skull. That's what they're doing, is that they're basically, we have all these assets, they might not be major assets, but that they somehow are in the same universe, we can sell that. So we can put Spider-Man in the trailer on a poster, but he doesn't have to show up. We just have to equate that this villain is a Spider-Man villain and that maybe in the future he might fight him in a Spider-Man movie and people are going to go flocking to it. Like Venom was a huge mistake, you know, in ways that it was successful, because what that did is it led to more crap like this. Like we're getting a Kraven the Hunter movie, I don't want to see, and we're also getting the Black Adam movie, which had been on the cards before, but I don't necessarily want to see movies about villains other than Joker. You know, if you're going to do one, you better do it really good. And they're doing the same thing with Black Adam, is they're making him a hero where he was a very, very bad villain, or a good villain, if you want to say it. And that's kind of what they're doing with Morbius. They're doing it with Venom. You don't have to make, like Tom said, all of these villains superheroes. And I completely agree with you, Fedra. Jared Leto just turns me off. Like, he ruined the Joker. And I think a lot of it was his performance. The design was awful, but his performance was really bad. He's got like the Midas touch of turning things to crap. And I know that he's taking charge of Tron 3. He's going to destroy that franchise, I'm pretty sure. I love the Tron Legacy. And it just, I was really excited to hear that they were making Tron 3 until I heard that he was going to play a major role in it. I just don't get that guy. And for most of his movies, he just doesn't shave his beard. He doesn't cut his hair. It's like he shows up on set and he's like, nope, I'm good as it is. And although Morbius looks a little bit like him, I guess, in the comics. But another thing with Morbius, too, is he's not that huge of a villain. And you watch some of the trailers or the previews of Morbius, Jared Leto's sitting there and going, Morbius is such an iconic, legendary character in the comic books. No, he's not. You know, he's not in the top 10 of Spider-Man villains. He's okay, but he's a friggin' vampire. I mean, I just never liked vampires in any type of comic books. There's a place for them, but it's not in comic books. I'd rather see like Green Goblin, Doc Octopus, or, you know, whoever the hell's a bad Venom, but not Morbius. So I am kind of glad that this is bombing. I hope that this is an eye opener for Sony and that they realize that, all right, maybe we shouldn't be, just because we own the rights to our franchise, it doesn't mean we have to make a movie about everybody in that franchise. They were going to make a movie about Aunt May when Andrew Garfield was Spider-Man. Crazy. It's absolutely insane. Anyway, but a lot of people are complaining. They heard about the after credit scenes. They cut Michael Keaton out of the picture. Originally, he's in the trailer, and I guess he sees him in prison. I forget exactly what it is, but they cut that scene out of the trailer. But he has two scenes in the after credit, or yeah, after credit scenes. And one of it, I guess it's kind of like the rift that we saw in No Way Home occurs, and it takes him out of the universe that he's in, and it puts him into Morbius's universe. But it doesn't make sense because we didn't see any of that. Maybe that's why they cut that scene out, because he'd seen him in prison. Now they find him in prison and they realize that, well, why is he in prison? He did nothing wrong in our universe, so they let him go. And then the second after credit scenes is Morbius is driving somewhere and this thing comes flying out of the sky and it's the Vulture, and they kind of imply that he wants to start the Sinister Six with him. But again, in the movie, since they cut that scene up, they never met Morbius, so it doesn't make any sense, you know, for him to just show up. Anyway, that's the two scenes that people are complaining about. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Tom?
So the thing that I thought was funny about, with exactly what you're describing about, like, the whole No Way Home thing setting up like that, again, without saying it, just the acceptance of his character, like, oh, okay, I'm just here now. And I was even reading something about how right away they just automatically assume it to be on Spider-Man, you know, like Spider-Man did it. And I mean, okay, whatever, I get it. But I, without explanation to these things, like, I know, like Jack always says, because of comic books, right? And they're just hoping that we just accept it for that. Mm-hmm. But then with him showing up wearing the Vulture gear, like, he came from a completely separate universe. So with that happening, we're to believe that the attack on New York never happened. So how could he even get his hands on this type of tech to be wearing the Vulture, you know, gear? Like, and again, I know that's just me going down a complete rabbit hole. You know, I want to know why, but, and again, it's just them taking a cop out of like, oh, we're giving you this and you're just going to accept it, you know, because we're throwing it at you. And again, that's where I think Sony doesn't get what they're doing with this stuff, where that's the one thing I have to respect about the MCU, you know, start to finish. They're literally always trying to piece things together left and right. And you're just not getting it with this universe, you know, but whatever.
Fedra?
I mean, from those reactions, I'm not surprised because of the quality, but yeah, I think that many people are, you know, like Tom in wanting the why. And when it starts to not make sense, it really is a turnoff, you know, because you like those little Easter eggs. And then when things just don't add up, it's, you know, it takes the fun out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's, yeah, again, you make a good point when you think about the different universes, but it does seem like maybe they might have, because this movie's been delayed a lot. Maybe the heads at Sony looked at the movie and they said, this isn't working. We don't want Morbius part of our universe, or so they changed it. But I don't like the fact that they put Michael Keaton in Morbius' universe. And I haven't seen the movie, and I don't specifically know how the after credit scenes play. I'm just reading from what I heard. But if that's the case, that kind of blows, because Michael Keaton was a great villain in Spider-Man's universe. And who knows, he might not be returning because he's busy being Batman. But yeah, I had a feeling this movie was going to suck. And like I said, I just hope that they realize, just stop. And maybe hopefully somehow Disney will just buy them out. Although it's getting tougher and tougher the more Spider-Man movies make money. We can't rely on them bombing with all the spin-off movies. Okay, so Obi-Wan, the series, has been delayed a week and is premiering on Disney Plus on May 27th, but it'll be a double episode this time. I'm reading that it's because Ms. Marvel is premiering on a Wednesday too, so they're almost going to be competing with each other on Disney Plus. But that premieres on June 8th. I still don't understand why they're doing it. But the other thing that was interesting is that a leaked scene came out of Vader dueling Obi-Wan Kenobi online. And that's what I was going to ask you guys. Do you want to see that? Do you want to see Obi-Wan and Vader fight again? You know, I'll ask you, Fedra.
No, it would not make sense in the series at all for me. This, as I said before, from what I understand, this is where he's on Tatooine and he's observing Luke and he's being a hermit. And if he goes on these little journeys, like, okay, I could maybe see that. But at the same time, he's supposed to be hiding because he's kind of easily to recognize, you know, with the Empire. Mm. So I don't know, like, if we see mild or smaller villains, I can be okay with that. But no, like, as far as I know from the timeline, Vader assumes that Obi-Wan is dead or lost, and he's only supposed to really sense that presence or see him when they battle for really the last time.
Excellent point. Tom?
So I know Kathleen Kennedy has hyped up, you know, the rematch of the century with Vader and Obi-Wan. And to be honest, I was not for it at first, and I really thought that with the end of Solo, where we saw Darth Maul come back, where I thought that was going to play out a bigger role in Obi-Wan. And I have heard that originally it was supposed to be Darth Maul was the big bad, where he was chasing down Obi-Wan on Tatooine while he was protecting Luke. And then that even came to light that wait, he's Vader's son. So that made it like an even bigger thing that way. But then, exactly. So I don't know who decided to nix that and go with Vader. But then, I don't know. As a big nerd, you know, I remember seeing the reimagined duel a few years back where they took the battle from the original Star Wars and did it up with CGI and everything like that, and actually like matched it over with scenes from Revenge of the Sith. And don't get me wrong, it looked incredible. And I think that, you know, the people at Lucasfilm or even at Disney saw fan reaction to that and were like, well, that was just somebody messing around with their computer. You know, we have state-of-the-art equipment. Let's capitalize that on ourselves. And I pray to God that it's going to end up okay. But I was telling Joe before, Fedra, that after Book of Boba Fett, I'm just so leery about what's going on with Star Wars right now.
I get it.
I heard something else too, that the whole premise of the show is there's going to be a lost Jedi that shows up on Tatooine and he's looking for help from Obi-Wan. And the latest thing I heard is it's going to be that kid, Cal Kestis from the Jedi Fallen Order. And when I first heard it, I was like, I don't think so. Like, I know it's a huge game, but like, I feel like the Star Wars community as a whole doesn't dabble in the games too much, I guess. Like, you know, the older generation, I guess, or even just like my daughters themselves, they know about the games, but they're not really into it. But then it was either this week or last, I saw that Disney's releasing a Cal Kestis legacy lightsaber at Galaxy's Edge. I was like, oh man, that, you know, they're putting it out there for themselves already that, you know, oh, here you go. You know, God forbid, you know, we don't capitalize on something that is going to be out there, you know, shoved in our faces. So I really think he's going to be the one showing up. And I think you were talking about before, Joe, I didn't want Obi-Wan, leaving Tatooine, but it's going to happen. And I kind of don't want to see too much interaction with Luke either, because I like how it's like an arm's reach in the original Star Wars that you hear, like, Luke knows who he is, but you know, he's over there. He's just that weird, crazy guy. I don't want there to be like any type of relationship, which I'm really fearful that they're going to do, that they're going to have him being like, you know, the friendly old man neighbor, you know, oh, Luke's out, you know, I think you said it before yourself too, Joe, where, you know, like, it's not going to be like Luke's soccer ball comes over to Obi-Wan's yard. Like, he's going to be, you know, going out and picking up groceries for, you know, old man Ben all the time. And, you know, they're best of friends. And I just think that would really, really hurt the story. And I don't know.
It goes against the story.
Exactly.
The point, you know, of the Jedi is not to have an attachment. That's growing an attachment of a relationship.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Disney. Absolutely. Yep. I know they want to do it and just recreate it, but no, the premise is already there. So again, it's like doing the same thing with Morbius. It doesn't make sense. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. You've got a great, you know, premise where you can explore, but just don't funnel the lines that were already set up. And I mean, that's from the creator. That's the creator itself. Like, why would you do that? I know this is a completely different comparison, but it's like if somebody just completely remixed the Mona Lisa, you know, and just went against the lines and morbided her face and, you know, redid the hair and everything. It's like, then it's not the Mona Lisa. Like,
Yeah, that's what Lucas did with the special editions.
Yeah, exactly right.
See, I would be okay if it was a dream, you know, that maybe Anakin is having, that he actually finds Obi-Wan and it's, you know, just destroying him inside of what Obi-Wan did, and he wants to have a rematch with him. That they actually meet just doesn't make any sense, because in A New Hope, Vader implies that he thinks he's dead, because it is, I've felt the presence that I haven't, you know, had. And then he stops short. And to me, that means that what the hell is he doing here? He should be dead by now. And, you know, because if he felt it was Obi-Wan at that point, I think he would have been like, Obi-Wan is here. I got to go get him. Because he would know he was alive. So he's got to be around somewhere. But to me, I think he's confused knowing that he feels Obi-Wan's presence when he should be dead. Now, again, they could change it like where Vader might duel him and he wins and he thinks that Obi-Wan's dead, but he's just injured. And then he goes back to Tatooine. Actually, I think the duel is on Tatooine from the footage I've seen. The footage actually looks pretty good, I will say. It has like Vader with his red lightsaber and Obi-Wan with his blue, and Vader is walking towards him, and it looks pretty cool. But again, it doesn't belong in there. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. And I think that that's what Disney has a problem with. I was going to go back to your you mentioning Darth Maul. So this is why I think Darth Maul isn't in it, is because I reported this a while ago that Ray Park, who plays Darth Maul, somehow he was caught in a scandal where I think on his phone he posted on Twitter or Instagram some girl giving him oral sex. And it leaked all over the internet. And I think Disney fired him, and they wanted nothing to do with him over it. I find it hard to believe that, number one, he would do that. But who knows? Because I haven't heard anything from him after this. And you would think he would try to clear his name. And I met him, and I saw him in the parks. He's a great guy. I loved seeing him at Star Wars weekends describe, like, he had his own show. Basically like an hour show that you would go to, and he would teach kids about martial arts and how to duel. And he would go over his whole career when he was a stunt double for, you know, in different movies. And the guy is in awesome shape, and he's just a really, really nice guy. And I don't know how old he is, but he's, you know, for his age, he's in really, really good shape. And I think he's a good inspiration, because, you know, it's like, when you get older, a lot of people put on some pounds, and they don't have the drive that they used to. And like I said, he's just a nice guy when you meet him. He's got a smile on his face. He loves that people are big fans of Darth Maul. And it's kind of sad that that may have led to the cancellation of Darth Maul. I mean, if he did do it, it was wrong, but you still like the character. You can't. Some people will be like, like Michael Jackson. I know people like, I'll never listen to another Michael Jackson song because of what he did to all those children. But I'm like, yeah, no, what he did was wrong. I think it was sick. If he, you know, I can't say whether or not he did or not. I'm not going to stop listening to his music. Hold on, I'm getting back on here.
Yeah, you're saying Raymond Park, right?
Ray Park.
Yeah, Raymond Park is his formal name. Sorry, he's 47. Born in Glasgow, Scotland. Very impressive with his martial arts. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was something else.
Yeah, I mean, wushu kickboxing, Shaolin kung fu. That's, yeah, kicking butt.
Yeah, biggest mistake to basically get rid of him in that series. That was Lucas's fault. All right, so this is the last story we're going to do. So at the Oscars, which I did not see, but apparently Zack Snyder's Justice League won for the most cheerworthy moment at the Academy Awards by the fans. Like, they voted on Twitter, which I think is insane when you hear what he was up, what this character was. It was the Speed Force moment in Justice League. I don't know if you remember that, Fendra. It's, wait, there's a Speed Force one, and Tom, you can correct me. Is that the one when he's trying to bring Spider-Man back to life, or is it when he visits Bruce Wayne in the Batcave? It has to be when he's bringing Superman back to life.
Yeah, it's definitely bringing Superman back, and I'm actually really surprised that that was even considered, because what was it, like something like 12 minutes of that entire movie were in slow motion.
Yeah,
like I remember, like, you know, every time you saw the Flash, and I get it, you know, they're trying to show it like that. But I remember watching it with my wife, and she was losing her mind about every time they slowed it down. She's like, I get it. He's fast. We don't need to see him high fiving somebody as he runs by. Like, just show whatever Flash is doing. So for them to actually, like, I was floored that that was even, quote, nominated.
But this is what it was up against. It was up to three Spider-Man swinging together in Spider-Man No Way Home, the Avengers Assemble scene from Avengers Endgame, the I am telling you I'm not going scene from Dreamgirls, and Neo dodging bullets in The Matrix. And that one, something had to have gone screw with that. Zack Snyder had to pay fans to vote for that.
Well, like you said, it was fan vote, right? And it was people going out and just, you know, I don't want to say torpedoing anything, but like, yeah, I'm completely with you. Against any of those, there's no chance that that's your one.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite from that list, Fredra?
I mean, from growing up with it, you know, the scene with in The Matrix, I mean, at that time, that was like,
yeah, it's iconic.
The greatest thing. Like, it was just epic. And to me, it showed me just in my own study of watching animation and film, like, wow, like this is where we are right now. And in my mind at that, even at that time, I was like, what's it going to be like in the future? You know, because when you see something like that and then you correlate with Star Wars or even in Dune in those graphics, and then you see Matrix, you're like, you can clearly see, you know, an evolution coming. And then going from that. So, yeah, that would be mine personally.
I guess because it's the category's fan favorite. But again, I think if most people saw those scenes, they could relate to the other ones. I don't think most people could pick out that scene, what movie it was from, seeing him running with the force speed or whatever, the speed force. It's just really bizarre. I just wanted to bring that up because... what an injustice. That's what people should be talking about. Now Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. Alrighty. All right, let's get into it. So Moon Knight. And Fedra will be taking a brief little foray, and Tom and I will be talking about it. So Tom, what are your views on Moon Knight? I know you had seen it, and I had seen it, but I'm very curious as to what you think. And I don't think I might have told you, actually. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm thinking so far, so good. I was actually a little surprised that... I mean, I think it's only... is this a 6-episode season, I think? I don't think it's all that long.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure of the total episodes, but probably you're probably right.
I mean, I'd imagine... like, I'm sure they're not going any more than that. But for the time that it was in... what we got out of it, I thought was pretty good. I actually just went back through it again this morning, just to like get a little refresher on it. I'm actually really surprised how well I feel like they tried to play off of almost, I don't want to say Guardians in the sense, but I only got that vibe because of the music in the car chase scene with the Wham song. I thought that was pretty funny, you know, just for the whole thing there. But they actually, my opinion with that, why I wanted to bring that up, I think they did awesome with bringing the Deadpool aspect into the MCU, because I got like crazy vibes from the Deadpool scene in the first movie where he's jumping off the overpass into the traffic and all that, where, you know, you kind of got similar thing with it. And I thought they did really well with that. And the fact that my kids were freaking out that they wanted to see Mark Spector, you know, and he kept blacking out during those scenes. But I actually thought that was pretty cool because they're showing you Steven's side right now. And I think they're going to try to show that as the show progresses. Like, that was Steven's episode. Maybe the beginning of next episode, we're actually going to see Moon Knight. And then maybe the third, we'll see Mark Spector. And then we'll see, you know, Mr. Knight, you know, so on and so forth, where I think they're trying to flesh out as much of the multitude of characters that Oscar Isaac is in the show. So long and short, I'm pretty positive on the way it's going so far based on episode one.
What kind of number would you give it out of 10?
So that being said, I liked it a lot. It really didn't explain too much though. That's going to be my only gripe, that, you know, we didn't get any type of explanation for what's going on with Steven or Mark, you know, what have you, or Arthur, who, come to find out, I didn't realize this, he was only in one comic book for Moon Knight. So that being said, visually, I thought it was really good, but story aspect of it, I'm going to give it a 6, only because I wish we got a little bit more in the first episode as far as explanation, like groundwork. But that's definitely up for change if we get a better story down the road. But I think it's starting out on the right foot, at least. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Moon Knight in the comics. Like, I think it was kind of like just as I was ending my whole comic industry or fanship in comics, I read him a little bit. And part of the reason why I read him is because there was an artist that was on there that drew like Todd McFarlane, and he was really hot at the time. And I loved his artwork, this artist on Moon Knight. Like, he drew like the big flowing capes, and he made the character look really cool. So I picked up a couple of his issues, but I never really got into the character that much. It's too bad Jack wasn't on here, because he could tell you what size underwear Moon Knight has on. Because I know he's a pretty decent fan of Moon Knight. But a couple of weeks ago, we were going over the Ms. Marvel trailer, and I asked both of them, I said, what are you looking forward to more, Ms. Marvel or Moon Knight? And they both said Moon Knight. And I kind of shocked a lot of people by saying Ms. Marvel, because I said I wanted something lighter, and Moon Knight just looks dark to me. I don't like this whole idea about schizophrenic and being a superhero. I just think it's going to be very dark. I think I'd rather just watch Ms. Marvel for some light shows. I need some of that a little bit. But with that being said, I was blown away. I really, really enjoyed it. And it's funny because I told my friends that I loved it. And they're like, you don't love anything. And one, you know, my friend Eric, he had seen it, and he's like, I hated it. And he goes, but I'm happy for you because you don't love anything. And he goes, I can't remember the last time that you loved something. And I said, yeah, I just don't know why. Because the first scene when he puts the glass in his shoes and he's walking, I was like, ugh, I'm not going to like this. I just know I'm not going to like it. But then they played Engelbert Humperdinck. And I don't know if you're familiar with that singer. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, you know, my family used to play his music all the time. And that just brought a smile on my face because it brought back good memories of my childhood. And I was like, damn, how did they know to use that song? Because it's not a super popular song. And I just thought it was great that they used that. So it kind of, that helped. I was like, all right, you got my attention now, you know, that you did something. But then as it went on and on, I was like, oh, this is really, really good. I really like this. It's like, I'm not looking at my watch. I don't want it to end like other series. It's like, damn, I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to cut to the chase. And I actually told everybody, and I'm not going to change my score, I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
And I would have rated it higher, but I think I'm optimistic that it's going to get better as it goes on. And I don't want this to be like the best episode. I'm saving higher scores for future episodes. So hopefully that's the case. I'm very optimistic, or cautious. I make that cautiously optimistic because we know what Disney is like. And, you know, I was just impressed overall. I'm really happy that how they did that. Anyway, one of my big things that I really was super impressed with was Oscar Isaac's performance. I thought he was great.
He is.
And you liked him too?
Oh, I loved him. Contrary to, I know, popular opinion on him, I like them as Poe. Like, I know people aren't the biggest fan of the character.
I liked him in The Force Awakens.
Oh, Force Awakens, he's incredible. Yeah. And I mean, say what you will about the next two episodes in the series, but I think overall he was still decent. I like him as an actor. But the way he's pulling this off, especially as Steven, like I said, we haven't seen him as Mark yet, only at the very end of the episode. But I think the way he's going to be able to play the multiple roles that he's going to have to in this, he's just showing how wide of a range he has as an actor. And I think he's a great cast for that so far. And it's funny. Real quick, to go back on what you said with the Engelbert Humperdinck, when the very beginning, when you saw him step on the glass and everything, they were playing the Bob Dylan song. I thought they were trying to rip off the beginning of Watchmen. And I was like, oh, yeah, here you go. You know, they're going to go down that road. And when they didn't, I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I was wondering too. That song I'm not familiar with. And I was like, I think that's Bob Dylan, but that was a Bob Dylan song.
I only know that because I felt like never heard the song before. And I was like, that's definitely Bob Dylan. And I had to look it up and started going down a rabbit hole, of course, as I always do on the internet. And allegedly, that was after he was a born again Christian. And it's, you know, they're using that as symbolism because with Arthur and the whole, you know, his devoutness to the Egyptian mythology that they're going to be exploring in this. So they're kind of using that as symbolism, I was told, but from what I read. But we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. What was I going to say? No, I just felt that it was very real. And you know me, I like to call out when things are woke. I didn't see anything woke in this at all. It seemed very real. Like he was miserable at his job. I've been in situations like that, you know, like where you got some woman that's in charge of you and you could do nothing that you do is good enough for her. And your life is just a living hell going to work. And she has no sympathy for you whatsoever. And again, in this world, it's rare that you see a character like that portrayed as a woman. I just am grateful when I see something like that. I'm all for equality, but I just don't want all of the characters or, you know, say different races and genders get pulled into just playing good guys or just playing the cowboys, you know, or the cops versus robbers or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I like that. And just everybody he met, like the girl that he was supposed to have a date with, I thought she was really attractive. And I was like, all right, this is good, you know. We have somebody that we can watch on the show that, you know, you could like the eye candy and everything. Now I think she might be gone, which I'm kind of pissed. I hope she comes back. And then I was like, oh, damn, I wonder what this Layla is going to be like. I was hoping that she was Layla. And I looked up Layla. She looks pretty good. So I think that that'll be okay. I know it's being misogynistic, I guess, but I like seeing that. I know girls like seeing Thor, you know, being muscular and everything, so guys can do that too. But
his boss, though, I was hoping that Jackal was going to get her. I was really disappointed that didn't happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if that happened later, but I still like her because she's such an annoying person. And
true,
I think she's going to have her come up, and even Moon Knight might do something to her at some point. But I love that cupcake scene when he's driving the truck and you know, and then they played Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And it's funny because my friend, that's part of the reason why he hated it. He says they feel like they're trying to be too much like James Gunn. And I can see that. And they do overuse that a lot in a lot of movies now. Like even he does it too much. You know, it's like there's got to be a time when you stop because he did the same crap with Suicide Squad that he did with Guardians.
Yeah,
I think he should just make Guardians be special. And you can't do that in every friggin' one of your movies, although Tarantino does it. I don't know. I'm debating myself, but I was fine with it though because it's like those two songs. I never imagined I would hear A Man Without Love in any kind of show, and then Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Just it was a weird song to be playing as he was being chased, you know, by a bunch of hitmen.
I'm liking though they keep trying to pick songs though, like, you know, with you know, Moon, you know, somewhere in the lyrics, or like that Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, you know. And during that whole time they're telling him to go to sleep so Mark can take over, you know. So I don't know if they're like using it as that, you know.
So those songs that have Moon in it?
Not specific. One of the, it might be the song that you were referring to. There's something about, or it starts with Every Time I Wake Up, right?
Yeah, Every Time I Wake Up, Lonely as a Man Without Love. Yeah.
Yes. There's another, I don't remember when it was. It was just playing in the background, but I think they're trying to like just insert songs like that. And probably just for this episode, you know, hitting towards, you know, where, you know, like I said, with the sleeping thing, you know, where he thinks he's sleepwalking at this point because he doesn't know what's going on with his own body and mind. But I'll have to look into it, but there was definitely another song where they mentioned like either by the light of the moon or like, you know, the moonlight, what have you. But I thought that was like a nice little like subtle nod to it. I'm going to have to look into it though.
But this gave me so much hope. I hate when they do this and Marvel and DC does this and Star Wars is doing this now, is that like, if they make a movie about Captain Marvel, they're like, no, we're going to make a movie about Captain Marvel. The director has to be female because she has to relate about Captain Marvel. That doesn't, or Wonder Woman. They do the same thing, but Wonder Woman's creator was a man. Captain Marvel's creator was a man. That has nothing to do with it, but they have to make this virtual signal that they have to be woman from now on. You cannot have a man director Wonder Woman movie. So with this thing with Moon Knight, since there's like a lot of Egyptian lore in it, they said, well, the director has to be Egyptian or of Middle Eastern descent. And so the guy who directed it was Mohamed Diab. And I was like, oh God, it's just, I'd rather you just have a good director than for you to pick a nobody out. Like, again, like if say like they got Christopher Nolan to direct Captain Marvel and you had a choice of Christopher Nolan or some unknown female director, it's like, get Christopher Nolan, please. You know, don't waste my time with somebody that hasn't had anything. Don't make some sort of principle. But they did it in this case, and this guy kicked ass. And I want to see more of that. I hope we get to see more of that. I, right now, after seeing this episode, I don't want to see anybody else direct other than him. I think he did a great job overall. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't totally consulting with the writing, but it just was so well done. You know, from beginning to end, I enjoyed the whole show. I would say that the one thing that I didn't like was that Mark kind of reminded me of Venom, you know?
I did get that vibe once, you know, he woke up. And before we go down this road, where do you think he woke up when his jaw was dislocated? Are you getting a vibe of anywhere where you think he could be?
No.
Because I'm hearing grumblings that he's in Liberia. And that's how they're going to try to introduce, you know, the existence of Dr. Doom.
All right. Well, again, I'm not a huge Moon Knight fan. Jack would be like all over that, I'm sure. But no, that's interesting. I mean, again, if it ties to the comics and that they are doing their homework and making sure that all the beats are very much related to what we've seen in comics or what people have seen in comics, that's cool. But yeah, I would say I have very little negatives in this first episode. And I have a lot of hope that maybe Disney and Marvel and hopefully Star Wars is turning a corner. Because we got a lot of bad things recently, you know, again, with the Book of Boba Fett and What If, and it's just a lot of the Marvel series I wasn't happy with. So I'm just hoping that they hire talented people that don't go over their way to preach messages with their shows and just give us entertainment and fun. Because you know what this movie reminded me too was Memento. A little bit.
Yeah. I can definitely see that.
I think a lot of people will like this because it is kind of a mystery. Coming from me, I knew very little about Moon Knight. I knew he was schizophrenic, but I didn't know how much it really weighed into the character. Yeah, it's a heavy part of the character. How many different personalities does he have? Do you know?
From what I was looking into, I think he has three as, excuse me, as like, it's Stephen, Mark, and then there's a third, I forget. But what I was reading in about, it was like, Stephen was the money man to fund what Mark was doing. And then there was another like alter ego of his another personality where he was like a cab driver, where he was basically the eyes and ears for Moon Knight. So he was kind of like, you know, Moon Knight and then Mr. Knight, who I really can't wait to see because I think that costume looks awesome. you know, where he's in the suit vest and everything. I think that looks great. I definitely think he's going to be able to pull that off awesome with whatever they do with it.
Yeah. Well, I will say I really like the Moon Knight costume. Fedra, I know you haven't seen it, but damn, I think you should check it out. I have a feeling this is your type of show.
Okay. I mean, I like everything that you're saying, so it's just about checking it out. Yeah.
There's like a lot of Egyptian lore and mythology in it. Again, I'm not 100% sure if you're into that, but
yeah, I might get on my soapbox and start explaining things when I see it.
You might.
But like I think my rant on Eternals.
No, but you know, that's something that you enjoy spotting, and you know, it's good to have it pointed out. And yeah, I'm sure there is stuff in there. What was that thing called? Was it a scarab? Yeah, it was a scarab.
Yes, yep. Scarab, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, I guess, his source of power. Am I right, Tom?
So again, this is definitely where we need Jack, because I'm like trying to catch up on Moon Knight big time. I did see something about the scarab though, that there's like a red scarab character, I believe. And the girl that's supposed to be in the show, I don't know if she's the daughter of this individual or what have you, but she's like, I think she becomes her own type of superhero type thing in this. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where they go with this. Cause you actually, to go back a little bit when talking about, with the horror aspect and everything, that like, I don't know what Phase 4 is going to be like. And I wasn't even thinking about this until you brought Ms. Marvel up again, where I feel like that's one side of it where they're going to have, you know, the power cosmic, you know, we're going to go down that road, you know, and obviously that can lead right into Fantastic Four. And then you have Moon Knight, Blade, and the Black Knight that are going to be, you know, the scary side of Marvel. You know, we're going to go down that road and see what we have with that. And then I feel like with Eternals, even Moon Knight again, because of like, you know, the gods and mythology, and then you still have another Thor movie coming out where you obviously still have the gods in that. And Christian Bale is playing the God Butcher, right? I can't remember his name, but I wasn't looking forward to Phase 4 because just the way it started. But I think it's actually going to be. I'm a little more optimistic now, if this is a sign of things to come.
Yeah, it does seem like. I think they did a good job with this, and yeah, that in. Pulled me out of the doldrums when it came to Marvel's Phase 4. I agree with you there. Also, Ethan Hawke, and he plays, like you'd mentioned, Arthur. He was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I expected that character to be older. I'm not familiar with him in the comics, but he pulled it off really well.
He did. I appreciate his like the creep factor on him, where just how he's being very, you know, monotone and kind of like, I don't even know, very methodical with the way he walks. Like you said, with walking on glass, it was, he reminded me of the guy from Da Vinci Code, like flogging himself, you know, for his religion. So I'm definitely really interested to see what they do with him and, you know, his whole cult following, you know, what's going to happen with that.
I did want to bring it. Did you ever watch the Ricky Gervais show or familiar with the Ricky Gervais podcast?
Yes.
I found this interesting. Oscar Isaac based his accent on Carl Pilkington.
Oh, really?
Which I'm a big fan of.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I did see earlier, I didn't read that, but I did see that he just came up with it on his own. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I didn't notice it, but I'm going to have to watch it again. And this is one episode that I don't mind watching again. I can't think of saying that about ever when I watched Loki. It's like, for me, it was like, thank God this is over. But then I got to watch her next week. What?
Did you see that's the highest watched Marvel show is Loki? I can't believe that.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Disney fudges their numbers. You know, they could say whatever they want. They're like, well, what are we going to go to jail?
Yeah, right.
It's like, who cares if we're lying? It's like, but we have to pump it up so more people will see it. That was like Wonder Woman. When Wonder Woman, was it 84? I always get
84. Yep.
When that came out, they said, It was a tremendous success. Everybody enjoyed it. We're greenlighting Wonder Woman 3. It's like, who are you talking to? I don't remember anyone enjoying that movie.
I remember watching that on Christmas Day with my girls, and we were all kind of looking at each other like, what just happened? Like, where we were actually like really like gun shy to put on Soul that night too, because that was on Disney Plus, is like their answer to it. We were like, this is going to be another one of like the Wonder Woman that we just watched. I don't even want to bother. That was definitely, I can't even say they jumped the shark on that movie, right? It was just a hodgepodge of whatever.
Yeah. I guess that's about it. You know, again, Fedra, I think you'll like it if you see it. I am going to have homework for you though, Fedra. After talking to Tom and myself, I think you should watch Daredevil, Ben Affleck's Daredevil. Okay. And I think you'll find some things that you'll like in that. Yeah, it's a decent movie. It's not as in depth as the Netflix series. It's only 2 hours long, or even less than that. But you might enjoy it, even though Ben Affleck is in it.
He's definitely decent in it.
But she doesn't like Ben Affleck.
Well, because a lot of his films, like, I just didn't, you know, just didn't appreciate. But again, you know, I like, you know, like we say here, you know, I'm a brutal critic, because if I'm aiming at a 9 or a 10, I'm saying that it's either Oscar nominating or Oscar winning. So everything's going to be either 8 or less, no matter what, because of the quality of the film. I'm looking at everything. So with Ben Affleck, I really liked him in Dogma, and I liked him in certain characters. It really fit him. I still haven't seen Batman and Superman, because I just cannot see Ben Affleck as Batman, but I do have to see it to give it a try. But I'm very apprehensive, you know, because it's like, I don't want to feel like at the end of the day, like, why the heck did I even watch this? You know, I'm trying to
make sure you watch the ultimate cut. The ultimate cut's definitely worth it, because I don't know if Joe will agree. I know it's.
I disagree. Taylor strongly agrees with you.
It just made more sense. Like, it wasn't. They didn't leave as much on the cutting room floor. Obviously, like, I felt like it just flowed better.
Yeah, I would rather see a shorter version of it. But when I first saw Batman, this is the most talked about movie that we've talked about in Nerd Alert. It's just that we always go back to it, because it's a movie that. Sometimes we love it, sometimes we hate it. But I guess I'd have to say that I love it, because I always end up revisiting it. There are things I definitely don't like in it, but there are things that Zack Snyder gets right. He does very good with his fight scenes.
Oh, yeah.
His casting isn't always very good. But, you know, there's a lot to like with it. And I think if you watched it, you might like it, but I have a feeling that it would leave an impression on you, because that's what it's done with all of us. Because we, every now and then, we just think about it. It's like, I hate it, but I like this scene. And then you'll watch it again. It's like, all right, I like it a little better. Because I hated when they cast Ben Affleck as Batman, and not that I refused to see it, but I wasn't looking forward to it. And even when I saw it, I was like, no, shouldn't have been Batman. And then as the years go by, I was like, that's what Batman would do, you know, and Batman would look like that. So, you know, and the more and more like Batman, I mean, other than George Clooney, Ben Affleck was on my bottom of the list of Batman. He keeps rising up, you know, and it's because of this movie. It's not because of Justice League. It's because he does things. First of all, he's built like Batman should be. He's an older Batman, you know, and he's a wiser Batman. I'm tired of seeing Batman origin stories. And this wasn't a Batman origin story. It's like 45-year-old Batman that still keeps in shape. Oh, and you would love that, Fred, your personal training. Mm-hmm. Just before he has a fight with Superman, he's in a gym in the Batcave, and it's not even a gym. It's kind of like a prison. Yeah. And he's doing that tire thing that you hate doing. He's lifting weights. He's doing chin-ups, you know, and using the chains. It's so motivating. You would like that. It could have been longer. I would have loved, because like I love watching the Rocky movies, and watching, you know, the montages, like when he works out. Like if I'm at the gym or if I was running, I'd always like listen or watch to that, giving me a lot of motivation. It would have been so cool if they would have added, for me, I would have been fine if they added another 10 minutes of him working out, you know. And he does have one kick-ass body in that movie. Oh my God. He definitely got in shape. So, all right. That's
okay. That's so there's a few things that
I would say that's extra credit. I could look
forward. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, basically, I mean, I also still have to watch the newest Superman too, because same thing.
Oh, Man of Steel?
He's not Christopher Reeves. So I have that to watch. And then Superman and Batman and Daredevil. But I'm going to start with Daredevil because that's like the most recent. It'll make sense for me to go from Superman to Superman and Batman just to have a fresh, you know, day to just look at those.
When you're done seeing those movies, you'll feel that Ben Affleck's the greatest actor of all time.
I wouldn't go that far. But no, he's a decent Batman. Anyway, I think Federer loves when they say that. I guess we'll wrap this one up. So, Federer, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Yeah, you can add me as a friend on Facebook or follow me on Instagram, or you can email me at federer@wdwndt.com.
And thank you very much, Tom, for joining us.
Absolutely. Yes.
Great to meet you and talk you to as you well. Today.
Always awesome. A pleasure to hang out.
Yeah, no, you have such great takes on things and you definitely know your stuff. We got to get you and Jack on the same show one day. We did. He was on once before. No, he wasn't.
Not with Jack, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that should be interesting. That would be like Batman v Superman.
Oh, no way. That's Yoda. Jack.
Yoda. True. All right, so if you want, you can email me at joe@wdw.com or send me a friend request on Facebook and check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. And also, like I said, if you guys have some time, just email Jack at jackm@wdwnt.com and just give him a hello and say what a hell of a guy he is, because he is. He is a very good guy and he knows his stuff. And I'm sure that would bring a lot of happiness and cheer into his life. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 16. So until next time, see ya.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.